What is going on, everybody? Welcome along to season 4, episode 4 of the hashtag Are You Okay Mate podcast. Now, the reason you're hearing my voice now outside of the studio is I have to apologize to you all. Silly Jamie forgot to put the SD card in the Rodecaster when I recorded this pod, so the audio you hear has been extracted from the video. Don't worry, there's still over 30 minutes worth of content for you to listen to, and Katie is clear as a bell. But yeah, I do apologise so much. But enjoy the show, and I'll catch you all next week. Thank you. To season 4, episode 4 now of the Are You Okay Mate podcast. I am so happy to be back doing this, so happy to be in the studio. And today I am joined by, I normally have a very good friend of mine, because I get joined by people that I know. I'm actually joined by someone I don't know at all today, and I'm dead excited because I think she's going to have a lot to share, a lot to say, and we're going to have a lot of fun. So I'm joined today by the incredibly beautiful, the incredibly funny Katie Jane Pote. Katie.
Hello.
Hello. Title of the podcast, Are You Okay, Mate?
Well, depends.
Depends. Go on, elaborate.
Depends what we're going to talk about, whether you're going to, you know, ruffle my feathers or not.
I'll try not to. Oh, I'll try, maybe I'll try to.
Maybe we'll try to, yeah.
Maybe we'll flip the podcast on its head. Yeah. I'll get some good information out of you today. No, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. It was a bit random because, like, I've been seeing your socials and, like, you come across as this really interesting character. Like, dead fun.
That's one word for it.
Like, dead fun. And, like, so I started getting interested in what you're doing, what you're all about. And I was like, yeah, let me just talk to this girl a little bit. Let me find out a bit more. Then, obviously, we've been messaging.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Like, before I got you on, and then you told me some stuff. And I was like, yeah, you've 100% got to come on. So, people who don't know you, introduce yourself.
Well, I'm known for quite a few things. So, mainly people know me on social media as a grid girl or a ring girl, which is, you know, something I've been doing for a long time.
Yeah.
I do have a normal job as well.
Yeah.
When I'm gallivanting on Instagram, I do actually have a 9-to-5.
Yeah.
So I actually work in sales as well. Okay. But yeah, I am usually off and around everywhere. Very, very busy summer coming up as well with motorsport.
Nice.
But yeah, so I can't tell you what's going to happen next weekend because anything can happen.
Of course.
And I'll probably be doing something really random. So
yeah.
Yeah.
So that's you. Very busy, very random, grid girl. Okay, cool. Oh, by the way, before we go any further, so this gets recorded 1 week in advance, so people who listen to this will think it's a bit weird, but you're my Easter guest. So, I brought you a little Easter present.
Ah, thank you.
There you go. You've got a little...
So cute.
You've got a little...
Bunny.
Bunny. I hope you like chocolate.
I should have worn my bunny ears.
You should have worn your bunny ears. I should have worn mine.
Oh, we could have dressed up.
We could have been... I had a really good surprise, actually, this morning when I got into the office. There was an Easter egg and a...
I didn't know what you were going to say then.
That's for another podcast. I got into the office and there was an Easter egg and a cream egg on my desk. So I started today winning.
Nice.
Yes. Right, so take me back. Where did you grow up?
To the D's.
To the D's, where did you
grow up? I grew up in St. Nitz.
Okay.
In Eton Ford.
Yeah.
And I lived there till I was 17. Mm-hmm. And we moved away for multiple reasons.
Yeah.
Only like 20 minutes down the road, so it's not like dramatic.
Yeah.
But I just didn't look back. And I left St. Neots for 8 years. Mm-hmm. And previously wasn't having a great time here.
Yeah.
I got really badly bullied at school. Okay. To a point where I wasn't actually safe walking home. Like, it was serious.
Wow.
So yeah, that wasn't fun. So when I was moving back, I was a bit scared. And I thought, why? Like, it's just a town.
Yeah.
But I just, every time walking down the high street, I just remembered things and through the park, remembered being chased or, like, beaten up or whatever. And it's stupid because it's in the past. Can't change it. It's nothing to worry about now. Mm. And you know what? I've seen loads of people who were involved in those, you know, negative situations. Mm-hmm. And they've been nice as pie. We've had conversations. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it was really good for me to come back because I've kind of put it to bed now. But it was, yeah, it was very strange to come back here. I mean, nothing's changed apart from there's more charity shops and more coffee shops.
And less pubs.
Yeah, but the people are exactly the same.
Yeah, I think that's St Neots, though.
It's so weird.
St Neots, like, it's...
Did you grow up here?
I grew up here. Yeah. I moved away. So I grew up here till 16. Then I joined the army when I was 16.
Wow.
Then I left the army when I was 19. Came back to St Neots. Done what every 19-year-old in St Neots does.
Go to the Priory.
Go to the Priory. Love the Priory.
Rest in peace, Priory.
Back in the day, I don't know if you remember it. How old are you?
I'm 26.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm a bit older than you. So back in the day when it first opened, right, you had to wear shoes to get in.
Mm.
So me and my pals, because we was wearing trainers, we used to put black socks over...
That is an awesome idea.
...over our shoes to get in the Priory. And they charged you as well. And I went back to doing that.
Yeah.
What a muppet for paying to get in. But yeah, so I grew up in it. But like that's the thing with Sydney. It's like, it's just, it doesn't change. It's the centre of the... Like, I love this town. I really do love this town. I've got all my friends here, my family here. I've met so many amazing people in the last 5 years. So
yeah.
I moved away. And then when me and my wife split up, in 2017, I moved back.
Yeah.
Because it was natural for me, because my friends and family here, and I've met so many amazing people over the last 5 years. But you're right, it doesn't change. So I just want to talk to you about, you said about being bullied at school. Mm. Now, you can share as much as you want, or as little as you want. Like, what? Why was you bullied? And how did that make you feel? Because, like, I've been very fortunate. I've never been bullied.
Not yet.
You can start bullying me. Good, I like that. I don't. Yeah, so what was you bullied for? Like, and how was, because you said it was like really bad and it left you feeling scared. And like when you saw Riverside Park after you moved back, it brought back memories. So,
yeah.
Like, how does that feel? And how, you know, later on in life, how do you sort of let go of that?
So, I think I was probably like 13, the age I start going out of the Priory, obviously.
Just realised. I'm not fucking Jeffrey Epstein.
I was at school and I've always been quite a loud, large character, mm-hmm. In every sense. And yeah, I think I just drew attention to myself.
Yeah.
And it wasn't necessarily negative, but because I was being noticed, you know, people had something to say about me. So he started off with, oh, she sounds like a man because I have a deep voice, which, by the way, I cannot change. And then it gone to, she's got a penis. Oh, she slept with this guy. And I'm like, hold on a second. That makes him gay because apparently I've got a penis. Anyway, so yeah, it just got ridiculous.
Right.
And it sounds really stupid, but it got so nasty. Okay. To a point where I had people from another school waiting outside my school for me.
Stop it.
To come and get me, yeah. And I just thought, where has this come from? Uh-huh. Because, you know, there's lots of people that get bullied and whatever, but I don't know anyone that's had, like, this physical, like, scary stalking environment. I got restraining order against someone.
At school?
Yeah, it got very serious, and there was an incident at the park where, you know, young kids go to the park, have a bottle of cider or whatever. Mm. I was cool because I had bud, but I, the drink. I was just sitting there thinking, so they're going to come for me. I'm not safe here. Like, they are going to come for me. And I remember sitting there with my hood up, and then I just heard all this shouting. I turned around and I was like, oh, shit. And I literally saw a swarm of like 100 people.
Just because of running down the road.
Yeah, that's how it started. Then everyone just thought it was hilarious just to pick on me all the time. And I was so scared. I was quite tall as well, bear in mind. And I could have been quite intimidating, but I wasn't. Because I was an absolute, you know, wimp. So I remember legging it right to the car park.
Right.
And this girl like smashed a bottle and was holding it to my face. Everyone was shouting like, do it, do it, do it. And there was people stood at the back that were supposed to be my friends, just watching it happen. and people I've grown up with as well, and they were just watching, and I was like, where are you when I need you right now? Like, you know this person, you're not trying to stop it. I had someone like nearly in tears the other day saying to me, I'm so sorry I didn't stop it.
Yeah, so I want to talk about that in a second.
And, you know, I just think, how can anyone... I mean, I've been in places where I've seen things that happen and I get involved. I shouldn't, because it's not my, you know... But I'll always try to help people.
Yeah.
These days, you probably get stabbed because that's how things roll sometimes. But you know what I mean? Are you always trying to defuse a situation?
Yeah.
I was very lucky. A woman was walking her dog and called the police. So the police came very quickly.
Yeah.
While they were taunting me, and she probably wouldn't have even done it, but you just don't know, do you? So yeah, and then they all ran off, including my friends. And yeah, life was very different after that.
How old was you when
that? It was between the age of 13 to 16.
See, that worries me. So it went on for years, man. Like, because I've got a 13-year-old son, and like I said to you, I'm very fortunate. I've never been involved in bullying.
Yeah.
Never been bullied. My biggest fear for my kids whilst they're at school is being bullied.
Yeah.
Because it must be such a lonely place.
Is
that right?
Yes, yeah. Definitely. Because even people that I hung out with weren't really my friends. I ended up just hanging out with like the older crew because, well, it was a really cute little situation. They were like a couple of years older than me. They were a bit gothic. They just didn't really care. And so when people come at me, they would be, like, swinging their bags at them, like, trying to protect me.
Wow.
But, yeah, I found a little group that kind of got me through. But as soon as I got to sixth form, I was like, I need to go.
You need to get out of here.
Yeah, I was just like, I just need to get away from this town, away from these people, start something else. Because I was just a nervous wreck.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you must have had, like, some level of anxiety about your day-to-day life because of what happened.
I saw a therapist from 14 to 18.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
No, but is there anything that could get me through it?
Everyone, and I stand by this, everyone should have therapy once in their life.
Absolutely. Everyone needs a therapist and a chiropractor, because you'd be surprised how twisted your body is right now.
I need a chiropractor. I'm 40, and I'm telling you, when I turned 40 in January, my back decided that was it.
Yeah,
like,
bye.
Like, that's enough now. Wow, thank you for sharing that. Like, that's really quite powerful to hear.
I mean, there's a lot of things that were pretty dark, but we haven't got time for that. No, it's one of those where if I really think about it, I remember how bad it was. I think because I've come so far this way now, I don't really need to think about it. I just remember that it was really, really shit, to be honest. Do you know what I mean?
Do you think it taught you any lessons?
It definitely... Yeah, I think it gave me some resilience and it gave me the confidence I have now. It did leave some negativity as well. Like, because I never felt feminine, I felt like I had to get a boob job and get fillers in my face.
By the way, for people who are not watching this, like, who don't watch these clips and listen, you couldn't be any more different. Like, not feminine. Like, yeah.
Well, I'm still quite boisterous, but getting the boobs and the face didn't change anything. I still get ridiculed now. And I just deal with it differently, you know? Sounds a bit cringe, but Lady Gaga was like my idol as a young kid, right?
Right, okay.
So when everyone was having a go at her, going, oh, she's a hermaphrodite and all this, and she's like, why does everyone care?
What does it matter?
People love my music and they love who I am. If I have a dick, why does it make any difference? And I just thought, obviously I don't, but like that attitude is just on point. Like, who cares? And, yeah, I mean, a couple of years ago, I mean, most nights out I get called a man at some point. But a couple of years ago I was in Peterborough and I was wearing a dress. And I looked very feminine that night. And I was out with the boys and they're all sitting at the bar. And these guys behind me were, like, messing around going, oh, she's a drag queen. And I was flicking my hair going, yes, bitch. Like, you're just jealous because I won RuPaul Drag Race.
Yeah.
Like, I was just making fun of it. Because I thought, that's the way I deal with it now. I just make fun of it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, guys, that's enough now. Like, chill.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm not a dude. And if I was, there'd be nothing wrong with that. Like, actually, it's a compliment now because most drag queens are hot anyway. but I just sort of brushed it off. And then this guy came up to me, put his hand up my skirt, grabbed my puss, and was like, she's got a cock. And I was like, here we go again. Here we go again. And it gave me a setback. And I just remembered being that scared child again. Yeah. And it was so sad. And I remember going outside and just crying my eyes out. And the boys were like, what's up? And I was like, don't worry about it. I waited for them to leave. And I told the boys, and they were like, oh my God. I was like, this is what I didn't tell you. Because it would have caused a scene. And like, it's embarrassing enough as it is. I don't need to make a deal out of it. Do you know what I mean? But that's only 2 years ago. It's like, oh my God, when does it stop? You know? It's just how you deal with it is how you overcome it, really, because you can't control other people.
No.
You can't control how you deal with it.
100%.
I had a similar situation as a stripper.
Yeah.
Had the same comments, same things happen.
Yeah, so I wanna talk about, like, later on in life.
Yeah.
So, the glamour modelling, being a stripper and stuff like that. So, you've dealt with all this bullying as a teenager, which I can only, like I said, I can only imagine it being really lonely, damaging your confidence beyond belief.
Yeah.
So you'd have been a shell of yourself. Like, stop me if I'm wrong.
No, you're right.
So, at what point did it switch from being having no confidence to I'm actually going to get paid to take my clothes off?
Yeah, yeah.
Because how much fucking bollocks, no pun intended. See what I did there?
There'll be no video evidence of this.
So, like, how... I'm going to say again, how much bollocks have you got to have to go from, like, I don't want to be around people because I'm just getting bullied constantly to the point where I'm fearing my life, to I'm now going to get paid to be as vulnerable, because you're never more vulnerable than when you're
literally
fucking naked, like, to being as vulnerable as I can. And get, like, where was the, change?
I think it stemmed from that because, like I said, I didn't feel feminine. I never had. So I just thought one day, I'm gonna get my boobs done, and it was a very rash decision. I literally went to a consultation, and 2 weeks later, I had boobs.
Okay.
Like, there was no messing around. I said to the surgeon, he was like, "Oh, well, we got slots in." This was January.
Yeah.
January the 31st, and it was 2 o'clock my appointment, and it was 5 years ago. And I said to him, he was like, "Oh, we've got some slots in July." I went, "No. If you can't do it in the next couple of weeks, I'm gonna go somewhere else." And he was like, "That's ridiculous. You're 21 years old, like."
Yeah.
And I was like, no. I made my mind up. I'm a very impulsive person. Like, just let's do it. And he was like, "Well, I have got a cancellation in 2 weeks." I went, "Book it in. Let's do it. Wow. I'll give you cash tomorrow."
Wow.
And so yeah, we booked it, and I was so excited. And as soon as I woke up from that surgery, apart from feeling fabulous because I was still high, I looked in the mirror and I just cried. And I said to my boyfriend at the time, I was like, "I feel like a woman." And that was the first time I actually felt like a woman.
Wow.
And it was so powerful at the time. And now I look back and think, it's sad that I had to do that, to feel like that. But at the same time, the stuff I've done between then and now is only because of that confidence I had from getting the boobs. So yeah, as soon as I had them done, about 2 months later, I had this random message on Instagram like, "Oh, come and do this photo shoot." And I thought, oh, that sounds fun. Like, I've done one before, but only like a local thing.
Seems legit. A geezer messaging from Instagram.
This is totally fine. At a strip club. Cool. So yeah.
Really safe.
I was like, this is definitely legit. Like, I'm not going to get killed or anything. So I went along. It was in Leicester. And I came in and I thought, what am I doing here? This is not a bit of me. Like, I'm so out of my comfort zone here. Yeah. And I met the team, the photographer, he's amazing. He actually presented me my award this year, or last year. So I've known them all the industry people for years, but this is when I first met them. So I went and did this photo shoot, and they were like, "Oh, she's cute." I was very slight, obviously just my boobs done, whatever. Looked very different then. And this guy called Jeremy was there, and he was like scouting for promo girls and things like that. He said to me, "You know, what are you doing Monday?" I think it was Bank Holiday Monday. He's like, "What are you doing Monday? Do you want to come and work at the British Superbikes?" And I was like, "Are you kidding me? Like, I've loved bikes since I was a kid.
Yeah.
I've always been into racing. And you want me to come work there? And I'm getting paid for it." And he was like, "Yeah." I was like, "Hell yeah." Mm. So then my face was all over Spimmint Rhino, which was the club that I shot for.
Never heard of it.
Oh, no. No one's ever heard of that. So, yeah, I was literally on their, like, all their promo, on their app. Like, my face was everywhere. And then I was working for them as a grid girl. So, obviously, that caused a lot of attention. People thinking, "Oh, she dances." I never danced at that point. I was like, I can never do that. Because that is so scary. I spent a lot of time in strip clubs with girls as a customer. So, I know what went down, you know. I know it's a safe environment. But it's something I never thought I'd be able to do. Then I was just like, wow, I'm actually, like, this sounds, I don't know how to word it really, I felt like I had some sort of purpose. I felt like I was getting myself worth back because I thought, you know, I can do these things. I am attractive because I wouldn't get booked. So it kind of, not a false sense of confidence, but it was kind of building me up. And then I did a documentary of Anne Robinson about equality. It's really, really popular, and it was an honour, really, because a lot of girls do it for the money or because, you know, they just like having their picture taken. But for me, I was very passionate about the sport. So, yeah, it meant a lot to me. And then the documentary, I thought it was going to be really negative, but it wasn't. It was really positive. And Anne Robinson's sweetheart.
I was going to say, how's she?
She's really nice. I thought she was going to... I was scared. I was like, what is she doing here? I didn't know it had been set up.
You are a weakest link.
I asked her to say that to me, and she did. So she was a good sport. But it was amazing. And then I won a Glamour Award. I won another one last year, which I can't believe I even won again. But since then, I've been working at World Superbike and MotoGP, which is next level. So
yeah,
it's been amazing. And I think that was the transition between then and now, doing all that stuff. I mean, there's so much more. But if I hadn't done all of that, I might have been a very different person.
So, I'm a big firm believer of absolutely every single thing that happens to us in our life
mm-hmm.
at some point leads to an end destination.
Yeah.
You may not see it in the moment. You may be getting bullied and going through hell. I was with Dale Pinnock last week, and we were talking with Dale, and I said about his transition into what he does now.
Yeah.
And his transition came off the back. He had really bad skin, like bullied at school,
yeah.
No confidence. And he was at a friend's house, and this friend's mum gave him a book about nutritional medicine or something like that. And that just sparked his curiosity.
Really?
And now look what Dale does. So yeah. To bring this to you, you're going through a hell of a time as a 13-year-old. And the reason I'm saying this is because I like to think that there'll be someone listening to this that will take a nugget.
Yeah.
Like, so you're going through hell at 13 and you felt like, this isn't safe for me. I'm at risk. And because of what you went through, it forged you into this beautiful lady that you are today. Award winning, like super confident. And like, just goes to show that things do get better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They do get better. And you know, it's not been all sunshines and rainbows.
It's not, though.
And it never is.
The beauty's in the struggle.
Mm.
Do you know when you get to a point in your life, and again, stop me if you're wrong, because it's at a point that I've been in my life, where I've looked back at what I've been through, and at the times when I was going through real shit, like to the point where I wanted to put a fucking rope around my neck,
yeah.
To the point where I signed off of work, where I couldn't get out of bed, never in a million years, at that moment in time, did I think that I would go on to speak at professional football clubs, speak in front of the army, you know, speak in front of the biggest house builders in the UK, appear on ITV, BBC, have my own fucking podcast.
Yeah.
Like, at no point, when I was going through all of that, did I think that this was possible.
Exactly.
And it's the same with you, and it's the same with Dale. And it's the same to anyone out there now listening to this that is going through a struggle where they think that life's pretty shit right now. Trust me, just stick it out. Just work.
Yeah.
Just because in the end, you look back and you're almost thankful for those experiences.
Absolutely. No, I would agree with that. But also the transition to when you're in that pinnacle of everything's going well and then something happens to destroy it all and you kind of got to build yourself again. That's where it's hard. So obviously with COVID and everything, which seems like a distant memory now, which is crazy. When that sort of hit, I got a normal job because I couldn't do dance in clubs. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do any events. So I got a normal job again. And I'd had previous normal jobs, 9-to-5 crew. But I really struggled. I really struggled to transition back into mainstream because you can't just say and do what you want. You can't, you know, just act a certain way in corporate business. So although I'd had experience, I felt really lost. And I had a bit of a breakdown. So for 2 weeks, I was signed off work. I literally couldn't leave the house because I'd have done something ridiculous. And I just didn't recognise myself at all. My friends were scared for my life. They literally, like, and contact my mum. And it was a really dark time, and I completely lost what I was doing. I didn't know what I was going to do, and I really didn't see a way out. I really didn't at that point. I then started taking medication, therapy, and I got through it. But I think what everyone needs to remember as well, you're not happy all of the time, and that's normal.
Fucking 100%.
Like, not everything is going to be okay.
I always
Good things, bad things happen every day, right? But bad things can also be good things.
Of course.
And now, I didn't see it at the time because I was suicidal. So, you know, I didn't have a mindset at the time. But now I look back and I kind of found my balance again. I started doing a bit of both. Now I'm very happy in normal life, whatever normal is, because my mindset's changed. Mm. And I choose situations to be in to make me happy or not. I shared something on Instagram and it said a list of things not to do.
I wanted to talk to you about that.
Because there's so many things that, I need to go to the gym. I need to eat better. I need to do this. How about I need to cut that shitty person out of my life. I need to stop drinking every day of the week. Maybe I just drink at weekends. I need to stop, you know, eating burgers every day for lunch. I don't know. Whatever it is, there's two sides to it. And I think using negative and positive language is really impactful when you're talking about yourself or what you're going to do. There's a lot of psychology on it, but yeah, mindset is a massive thing. And it's not just, I'm going to think positively today.
No,
because
you can't do that.
It's impossible. People say, Positive Popey, that's my nickname. Yeah. Do you think I'm like this all the time?
Yeah.
Hell no. And some things, you know, they are really shit, but you've just got to try and work out the best situation to come out of it. And that's what the positivity is about. It's not being happy all the time. And I think people have really high expectations about it, and it's not really realistic.
So there's a couple of things there. Like, the first thing I want to say is you said about people being happy all the time.
Yeah.
I always say, you know, someone who's happy all the time, they need more fucking therapy than I do.
Yeah.
Like, because it's a physical impossibility.
It is.
So when I present to, like, the army and stuff, I pull up a scale of 1 to 10. Right, and I talk about how our mood, like, we've been conditioned to think that our mood should be linear.
Yeah.
Like, it should be, like, you wake up in a mood, you wake up feeling a certain way, and you should maintain that throughout the rest of the day at a certain point,
yeah.
8 out of 10, and go to bed at it. It's fucking bollocks, right? Because, let's just deep it, and let's be real for a second. You can wake up feeling a 9 out of 10, so you've had a good night's sleep, you've not got an hangover, and you're in a really good mood, you get ready for work, you get in your car, then you get to the Black Cat roundabout, which I have to contest with every day, and you can go from an 8 to a 3.
Absolutely.
Right?
A -3 if you go there at the same time.
But then the needle, as your day goes on, it can creep back up.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it can drop back down, and then it can fluctuate between a 2 out of 10 and a 10 out of 10 all day. The trick is regulating.
Yeah.
The trick is...
Regulators!
Well, it wasn't clear. About to start spitting two bars there.
Choking.
Like, it's about saying, right, okay, where do I want to be? Like, what's... when I talk, I'm like, what's the safe zone, I call it? Like, where's the green zone? For me, my green zone is between a 4 out of 10 and an 8 out of 10.
Mm.
If I can stay in that zone, I'm sound.
Yeah.
If I drop below that, that's fine. That's okay. I'm human. I'm flesh and bone.
Yeah.
The trick is, what do I do to bring myself up? And you don't put too, like, you spoke about putting pressure on yourself and using kind words. To, like, I always say, like, talk to yourself, and it's hit. People who know me will listen to this bit and go, yeah, nice one, Jamie, you hypocrite. Like, talk to yourself.
So that's it, guys. That was season 4, episode 4 of the hashtag Are You Okay Mate podcast. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Again, please accept my apologies that it was cut short. Technical error, but I promise you the mistake wasn't repeated. It will never be repeated, and I've learned my lesson. From the bottom of my heart, thank you all so much for listening. up to this point, this week we surpassed 2,000 listens, which is absolutely mind-blowing to me. But thank you all so much for listening, and I'll catch you all on the flip side.